Very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is Tuesday class, 25th March 2025. So we'll be, as usual, continuing our sharing from this book, the wonderful Dhamma Lotus Flower Sutta. We are at page 685, I think, volume 4, chapter 3, A Parables. Okay, now as usual, let us gather and we will have our physical puja. Let us compose our mind, develop the sadha, virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Namo Bhansi Sajjaya Moni Pho. Namo Bhansi Sajjaya Moni Pho. Namo Bhansi Sajjaya Moni Pho. Namo Guansin Pusa. Namo Guansin Pusa. Namo Guansin Pusa. Namo Amitabha. 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 Namo Bhūṣyān Bhūṣā. Namo Bhūṣyān Bhūṣā. Namo Bhūṣyān Bhūṣā. Namo Dīshāng Wāng Bhūṣā. Namo Dīshāng Wāng Bhūṣā. Namo Dīshāng Wāng Bhūṣā. Namo Phō Bhūṣā. Namo Phō Bhūṣā. Namo Phō Bhūṣā. Arahaṃ sammā sambuddho bhagavā buddhaṃ bhagavantaṃ abhivādemi. Svakkhato bhagavata dhammo dhammaṃ namassāmi. Supatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho sanghaṃ namāmi. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhassa. Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Pānātipātā vairamani sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Ādinādānā vairamani sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Kāmesu micchācārā vairamani sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Mosāvādā vairamani sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Surāmeraya majjhapamādatthāna vairamani sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. We'll continue our chanting from Padipa Puja onwards. Ganna sarapa dithena dipena tamadangsina tiloka dipang sambudang pujayami tamonudang Gandha sambara yutena dopena hang sugang hina pujaye pujaniyang tang puja bhajana mutamang vanna ganna gunupetang etang kasuma santatin pujayami monindasa siri pada sarorohe pujemi bedang kasumena nena punnena matena ca hotu mokhang pupang milayati yata idang me kayo tata yati vinasa bhavang adivasetu novante ang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang adivasetu novante pale parika pitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang adivasetu novante bojanang parika pitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang. Okay, now we shall chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and to help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, the ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculty of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balanced. Sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us now pay respect to Triple J. Buddhang pujami. Dhammang pujami. Sanghang pujami. Just relax body and mind, maintain some form of attention. Then you can commence your awareness-based meditation. Just remember that this awareness-based meditation is to help us develop the stability of inner awareness. The inner awareness within is your true mind, your silent mind, your meditative mind. To stabilize that, to realize that is very important. Without that, sati can never arise. So this awareness-based meditation can be done in many ways. But the easiest one is to develop the understanding and apply the four support to help you develop it. The first three support are most important, whereas the last support, which is trust, you can do later, unless you have stabilized it and developed the stability of the first three support. You cannot, technically, you cannot proceed with the fourth support unless you have developed them before in the past. So the first three of the four support are very simple and they are very easy. So follow the instruction with understanding, then you can do it. Anybody can do it. Because the problem with living being is, or most practitioner of the Dhamma or cultivator of the Dhamma is, they don't have proper understanding of what this awareness within is and how to develop it. And most people depend on methods, technique and object of meditation to stabilize their mind, because their mundane mind, before the spiritual faculty develop, they are heedless, they think a lot. And very fast they become heedless, easily lost in thought. So the only way to stop this heedless thinking or wandering of the mind is to anchor it to something. That's why they give you method, technique, which are series of instructions to do things. And who do? The thought do. That's why there is this noting, focusing, concentration, or whatever, chanting and all these things. Means you hold your mind, prevent it from wandering off by focusing it onto a method or a technique. Then sometimes they use meditation object. Then they develop the what they call jhanic factors to apply the thought, then to sustain the thought. Means the thought they recall the object of meditation. They keep on focusing, concentrating, repeating. Then after that, they sustain that thought there until the mind appear like in concentration because it doesn't move. But this is a conditioned mind, a conditioned state. It's not a free mind. You cannot develop the real sati with a conditioned mind. Yeah, the conditioned mind will develop into one-pointedness or ekagata, and that one will build up energy. Wherever you locate your mind, energy will build up. And sometimes they use continuous mindfulness to go into absorption. That one also is a conditioned state, because you have entered too deep into apana samadhi instead of staying at upachara samadhi, which is a free mind. So for us, the four support will make sure you are not in concentration and you are not in absorption. you just relax body and mind, completely relax. Feel yourself at ease without thought, in a relaxed state of mind, means bodily and physically, and your mind without problem, completely at ease, with love, with joy. Then you can radiate a radiant smile to calm down the mind, to make the mind quiet, tranquil. Then after relax, you just have to maintain awareness. Your awareness is your true mind, your true nature. So just maintain awareness. Whatever arise, aware. You have the sixth sense door. Upon contact of mind with the senses and the external sense data, you will trigger off the respective sense door consciousness. So whatever arise, just aware. Like the Buddha said, in the seeing, there is only that consciousness that arise. No one to see, nothing. Then don't go and think. Don't go and continue with the perception and proliferation and stirring of mind. Just relax, maintain awareness. Aware, finish. Don't try to know, don't try to do anything. Just silence everything. Relax, maintain awareness. Then stabilize it. Whatever arise, aware, finish. This is a good way of deconditioning your heedless thinking to an understanding. Initially, it may not be easy because most of you are not trained. You don't have the spiritual faculty, your sadha, virya, and because of that, sati cannot stabilize. Sati can only stabilize when you have the initial wisdom developed. So the initial training, you need to develop the faith. And from the faith, it drives you to cultivate. Then with that virya, you go all out to train yourself. Yeah. So training the mind to be aware is not that straightforward, not so easy unless you have the understanding. Yeah? Because of the habitual tendency, living beings are so used to the thought process. Most of the time, sense data, they come imprint upon your sense basis. Then the one that has very strong imprint or infringement, they will take over. Then that consciousness become very prominent. That's why it will hit your senses. Then you will stir and react to what you perceive through that senses. That's why the habitual tendency of reacting to what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel and think has become habitual. That's why living beings become heedless. They think a lot. They react to all these sense experiences. So that reaction to sense experience is a very, very detrimental movement. Yeah, that one can stir your mundane thought process and thinking. So mundane mind arises from that nature very fast through your senses, through your views, opinion, conditioning, belief system and knowledge that you have developed. And that knowledge is the one that actually binds you. Through knowledge, you come out with all your like and dislike, habitual reaction to sense experience. That's why you have preference, pleasant and unpleasant sense experience. Then from there you think, you command, you verbalize. And the mental chattering is like non-stop. Then the habitual tendency turn on the commentaries. Everything also you want to comment. The news you read, the thought that imprints through your senses. You want to continue to think, give meaning, sometimes grasp, attach. Then because of fear, worry, anxiety, you stir your mind. So this is how the mundane mind become active. Then the thought which is egoic continuously develop the perception and the thinking and the emotion through your views, opinion, conditioning and belief system. Your insecurity, your fear, your phobia, whatever. That's why all this psychological memory that you accumulate through lack of understanding, they have the evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion. And they are the one that you have cling on to. And through memory, you hold on to them. So, use your awareness that is developed to observe all this, to understand all this. Then you will develop wisdom to understand clearly how you function as a human being, thereby understanding who you really are and how you know the world, how you interact with the world, and how through habitual tendency you stir and react to sense experience to create what we call the mental hindrance of like and dislike or sensual desire and ill will. Through your habits, through your clinging, grasping, preference. So all this is the real vipassana movement. When you develop the understanding of it, you can retrospectively reverse all this. Because the easiest inquiry is, why do you stir your mind? How can you root out all this habitual tendency? Because you lack wisdom. You cannot have the wisdom and understanding to see things as they are, to be at peace with all circumstances and situations that arise, all phenomena, not knowing that this world is a conditioned arising world. Everything that comes about follows the nature's law, the Panchaniyama. They are all dependent originating phenomena or activity. They arise and they pass away. When causes and conditions are there, they arise. When causes and conditions continue to sustain its existence, it's like they evolve, they exist. But when causes and conditions cease to be, they cease to be. So it's just a phenomenal world of consciousness with the universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha, anatta. See it clearly. If they are dependent originating, how can it be a permanent unchanging entity? Because we live in a conditioned world. Like the Buddha said, whatever arises, there are causes and conditions behind. And these causes and conditions, the Buddha has explained through the Panchaniyamas, especially the Paticchasamuppada teaching. That's how you function as a human being, how your mundane mind actually moves. Then how when this thinking stops, the mundane perception or the mundane thinking activity, the aggregates of mind, when they cease to be, then what happened? Without thought, who are you? That's why you must stabilize this awareness-based training, so that you can realize the true mind, which is complete silence, tranquility, stillness, without any thought activity or movement. Yeah. But there is this pure awareness there. Realize that. That is your true mind, your pure awareness nature. That is your primordial mind. From there, all things arise. That's the reason why the Buddha said, mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. When that mundane mind arises, all things arise. The Buddha called it mano. That is your thinking mind, the conditioned arising mind. That is your five aggregates of forming mind, your thought process. Then with mindfulness, see how you input the content of consciousness through your views, opinion, belief system, conditioning, etc. Or sometimes your phobia, your insecurity, your fear, your anxiety, all this, they condition you into reacting to sense experience. They condition you to stir your mind, to react. That's the reason why you cannot be at peace, because you don't understand their universal characteristic and nature, and through delusion, ignorance, you cling, you grasp, you hold. So these are the reasons. So continue to train. Yeah? Develop the three support, relax body and mind, maintain awareness, then stabilize awareness. Don't try to know, just let that nature stabilize. Then you will come to realize your true mind. Suddenly you will come to realize all the thinking, the thought activity, they start to slow down, until suddenly everything becomes very quiet, very still. And that is your true mind. Tranquility of mind, the stillness of mind. Then you can inquire without thought, who are you? What are you? Then you can use it to meditate, to observe, to understand, to see things as they are, to insight the phenomena, to awaken to the three universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha, anatta. Then for those who have developed the stability of these first three support, which is relax, maintaining awareness, and already stabilize your awareness, you can stay at the heart area. Just silence everything and stay at the heart area to do the fourth support, which is trust, T-R-U-S-T. Trust your pure awareness nature to develop the meditative movement within. When you do that, this pure awareness nature which you have stabilized, it is very sensitive. Wherever you place it or locate it, it will pick up a lot of things, especially at the heart area. All the vibration within, even your heartbeat, your pulse of life within. Yeah. That nature, awareness nature, will pick it up. So you continue to relax into it when you detect it. Don't try to know, don't try to do anything. Continue to relax. Then let that heartbeat or vibration or pulse of life, let it move until it becomes very quiet and very still. If you don't go and give it more mental energy, it will slow down. It will become more and more quiet, more and more tranquil, until finally it's like no more movement. That is the progress you will develop. When that thing happens, don't panic, don't fear, just stay with the silence. Then the mind will suddenly enter sati, where when you do not create any of this duality of light and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant reaction to sense experience, when there is no fear, then this mind becomes very quiet, very still. And without this duality of light and dislike, which are sensual desire and ill will, there is no mental hindrance. When there is no mental hindrance, your sati or pure awareness, nature, mindfulness take over. Yeah. That's how you realize your true mind, your silent mind. The mind enters sati. Then during that time, if you are patient enough, you will come to realize your whatever activity is like magnified. Every slightest movement is like magnified. And when the mind enters sati, everything that you come to experience is in sati, that movement. Then later on, even when you have stabilized it, when you come out of it, you will come to realize everything that you do is in sati. Then all of your activity and movement, kaya, is in sati. The awareness and the kaya activity, they are all in sati. All action, all movement, physical movement, they are all in sati. Then all of your seeing is in sati. Hearing is in sati. Smell, taste, tactile is in sati. No thought in between. That mindfulness and the awareness and that sense experience, they move as one specific phenomenal awareness. Even your thought process, your thinking, how thought arise, you will see them clearly. All this movement are in sati. You will be able to see the mental flow, mental movement. That's why initially you see the physical movement. Then mental. Then after that, nature's activity and movement. Specific phenomenal awareness will arise. Then you can see all of the physical phenomena within nature, all of mental phenomena within nature, and all of nature's phenomena within existence. Then you can be aware internally and externally, following the satipatthana. Everything will fall into place. Okay, with this, I will let you meditate on your own. Mindfully come out of the meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the deities come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chakawalisu Atra gacchantu devata saddhammang munirajasa sunantu sakamokkadang Dhammasabrankalo ayang badanta. Dhammasabrankalo ayang badanta. Dhammasabrankalo ayang badanta. Namo atasa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhasa.Namo atasa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhasa. Namo atasa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhasa. Iti peso bhagava arahang sammā sambuddhoVijacarana sampanno sugato lokavidu anuttaro purisa dhammasarati satta deva manusanang buddho bhagavati sokato bhagavata dhammoSanditiko akaliko ehipaseko panayiko pachyatang veditabo ninohiti Supatipano bhagavato sakkasango Ujupatipano bhagavatoSakkasanggo Nyayapatipano Bhagavato Sakkasanggo Samicipatipano Bhagavato Sakkasanggo Yadidang Chattari Purisa Yugane Ta Purisa PugalaEsa bhagavato sakkasango ahuneyo pahuneyo dakkhineyo anjali karaneyo anuttarang punyang ketang lokasati sadhu sadhuSadhu. We will read on from this paragraph. The Buddha also saved living beings from worry, grief, suffering, distress, ignorant darkness, and the fires of the three poisons. Here the three poisons refer to the three evils of greed, hatred, and delusion.Sometimes they are also called poison because when the evil roots are there, it not only make you heedless, it not only make you evil, it will also poison you in the sense that you are as if dead. Being spiritually, you don't stand a chance.That's why they are called the three poison. The three evil roots are the root of all evil. They are major evils. Wherever greed manifests, in Pali, they call loba. Then anger or hatred is the second evil root, which they call dosa.Then moha is sakayadity or self-delusion, means delusional, where we cling and grasp to the ego, the self, the form and mind, thinking that it is a permanent unchanging entity that we can cling on to, grasp onto, and say this is me, this is I, therefore all this can be owned.They are mine. So this one is self-delusion, sakayadity. When you do that, it will trigger suffering. That's why the five aggregates when you grasp onto them, the Buddha call it Upadana Kanda, the grasping aggregate. They are the cause of suffering. That's why in the final summary of the first noble truth, the Buddha mentioned very clearly, in short, he said, it is due to a living being, Sakayaditi or self-delusion, that condition them to grasp and cling onto their own five aggregates upon my mind, believing that it's real. Yeah. And because of that, suffering arises. Okay. Then I read on. The Buddha wishes to extinguish the fire of the three poison, or the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. He teaches them and inspires them to attain Anuttara Samyak Sambodhi. So to extinguish or root out these evil roots, you need wisdom. You need to awaken to the understanding behind. Means the Dhamma understanding that enable the mind to liberate and not to be deluded anymore. So these three evils of greed, hatred, and delusion, they are very powerful. They are the one that trigger off the what they call suffering within humanity, both mental and physical suffering. When the mental suffering arises, it will also condition the deluded ones to grasp. That's why physically they also suffer. So like the Buddha say, when the body is sick physically, because birth, old age, sickness and death are realities that living being has to go through. But when it happens, if we have the Dhamma understanding and wisdom to come to terms with all this reality and be at peace with it, then we need not suffer mentally. Yeah. That's why there is a famous saying, when the body is sick, do not also deludedly cling, grasp and become miserable over it. Means when the body is sick, don't allow your mind also to be sick. Yeah. So understanding this is very important. That's why the essential Dhamma teaches to contemplate the five daily contemplation, especially the first four daily contemplation, to free ourselves from the first noble truth reality of birth, old age, sickness and death, followed by separation. Then the last contemplation is, we are born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. We are what we are because of our karma. If you understand this, then you will wake up. You will definitely take care of karma, because your life is entirely dependent on karma. Because we are born of it, we inherit everything that karma conditions us into. That's why the Buddha said we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma. Then we are conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are every moment, every instant because of karma. So if karma plays such a great role, if you don't take care of karma, you will suffer. You will become afflicted. So knowing this gives rise to a type of understanding that will drive us to take care of karma, to follow the advice of the Buddha. Because if you don't follow the advice of the Buddha, you cannot take care of karma. Or Sammasambuddha, when they arise, they will teach the same. The famous Dhammapada verse 183. Sabba papasa akaranang kusalisa upasampadan Sacitta pariyo dapanang itang buddhana sasana. The meaning is, sabbe is all, pavasa are evil, akaranang. You have to avoid all evil. Then, do good. Kusala, kusalisa upasamada. Then purify the mind. Sacitta, citta is the mind. Sacitta pariyo dapanang. Etang buddhana sasana. So, these are the advice of all Buddha. So, when you can avoid all evil, do good. You are taking care of your karma. When you develop wisdom, you liberate your mind so that you are not deluded anymore. No more ignorant to entangle you. So thereby, your karmic nature will become different. Okay, go back to the notes. So he teaches them and inspires them to attain Anuttara Samyat Sambohi. This is a supreme vehicle teaching to realize Sammasambuddhahood. So to extinguish or root out the three evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion, you need to cultivate the wisdom. Without wisdom, it cannot be rooted out. The Buddha guides all living beings to attain the unsurpassed, complete, perfect awakening of Sammasambuddhahood. That's why the Buddha come to the three rhyme. As we all know, the three rhyme, they are the sensual rhyme, the form rhyme, and the formless rhyme, which covers our 31 plane of existence. We living beings have no idea how compassionate the Buddha is. This is very true. Yeah. Because we don't try to escape from the three rhymes. Well, a lot of us, especially the deluded one, they don't know how dangerous the three rhymes is. When you don't have the Dhamma understanding, you suffer without knowing that you suffer. You are trapped, entangled, and caught in the samsaric movement to birth and death for eternity. So here is mentioned, because we don't try to escape from the three rhyme, because living beings don't have any idea how dangerous this three rhyme or samsara are. Samsara is. Then, out of love and compassion for living beings, the Buddha actually take numerous birth and cultivation to perfect itself, to come to the world and share this teaching with the world so that living beings can all be saved and liberated. Okay, so here we continue. Because we don't try to escape the three rhyme, the Buddha waits in distress on our account. Consequently, we should quickly brings up our spirits and get out the three rhyme. Here I think the English translation not so good. So here, consequently, we should quickly determine with virya to get out the three rhyme as soon as possible, means to liberate our mind, to free ourselves. We should not be lingering in this burning house. That's why the burning house analogy is very, very appropriate, very apt. If you know the house is burning, you will not stay in there. You will try to liberate and get out. Okay, then we go on. K2, correlating the specific analogies. correlating the energy of seeing the fire, correlating the energy of the elders, choosing the cards over the table, then correlating the energy of the impartial giving of the Greek cards, then correlating the energy of the elders not being guilty of lying. Okay. So the sutta says, he sees all living beings scorched by birth, old age, sickness and death, worry, grief, suffering and distress. They also undergo various kinds of suffering because of their pursuit of the five desires and of wealth and profit. Furthermore, because of their grasping and craving, they presently go through various kinds of suffering and will therefore suffer in the hells, among the animal realms, and among the hungry ghost realm, if born in the heavens or among the human. They will suffer from poverty and distress, from being separated from their loved ones, from being with people whom they don't like, and from all the various other suffering born of the eight reality of the first noble truth. Then we go to the commentaries. He sees all living beings scorched by birth, old age, sickness and death, fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation, grief, suffering and distress. Their suffering is as great as if they were being burned in the fire or boiled in hot water. They also undergo various kinds of suffering because of their pursuit of the five desire, the five desire of the senses, and of wealth and profit. So the five desire under Mahayana teaching, they classify them as their craving or desire for wealth, for sex, for fame, for food and sleep. So the term five desire may also refer to your five basic senses, the sense data, the external form, then sound, vibration, smell or sense, then taste or flavor, and tactile object. The quest for these five leads people to do illogical things. Why do people act in unskillful and harmful ways or heedless ways? It is because they are influenced by the five desire or craving. Why do people act in skillful and beneficial way? It is because they look upon the five desire with indifference. They have seen them all for what they are and have broken their attachment to them. They may think, oh, so that's what they are all about. No matter how much money I have, I cannot take it with me when I die. No matter how beautiful I look in life, after death, my beauty will be gone. No matter how good the food, once it hits my stomach, it changes. When it comes out again as excrement, nobody wants to eat it. If you put even the tiniest speck or excrement on the plate of an exquisite food, no one would touch it. Once it goes through the human machine, it's completely different. So food can't be all that important. Then come to sleep. The more you sleep, the more you want to sleep. The more you want to sleep, the more Here again is a matter of English. The more you sleep, actually, the more you want to sleep, the more miserable you become. Because when you cannot sleep well, you become like affected. People who actually have this habit of wanting to sleep and cannot sleep well, they become very miserable. In fact, the more they sleep, the more drowsy they become. They are not able to rest their body and mind. In fact, sleeping is a good way of resting our body and mind. If you have good sleep, deep sleep, your body recuperates. But this one is a negative habit. Those who are lazy, those who are heedless, they tend to sleep a lot. It's not like developing the need to rest our body. Well, our body, the organs, all of the parts within, we need to rest, proper rest for it to recuperate. When you rest and your thoughts are not active, then you have deep rest, means you shut your mind down. When you can relax and maintain awareness to shut your mind down, even maintaining awareness, you can make a decision to switch it off. Then it's like you will go through a very good deep rest where your mental activity are almost minimal or hardly any. Then what happens is our life force from our karmic nature, they will heal us. They will actually develop the movement within. So this is like meditation. When you do the fourth support, when you trust that nature to do the movement and activity, means the internal movement and activity, then what happens is, it's like when you have a deep sleep, when you are resting with awareness, the thought is not active. So there is no resistance. There is nothing to resist that movement. Then during that time, your life force, the full movement is not lost. Then if you know how to channel it to your gateway, what happens is, it will become pure energy and you can use it completely for your spiritual awakening or spiritual transformation from within. Where most people do not understand, as a human being, we actually drain our life force a lot. We become tired very easily. So what happens is when you think a lot, you take up a lot of mental energy. When you study a lot, when you concentrate, you focus, you use energy. Then likewise, when you work, where you have to think, plan. So all this develop what we call stress. Sometimes worry, anxiety, or negative emotion that come as stress. So this is how we actually dissipate our life force. And most of them use it for the thinking. Actually, the thinking, the emotion, the reaction, all these are the movement of energy, mental energy. Even when you focus and concentrate, you use a lot of energy. For those who are observant, when you study during your Form 4, Form 5, Form 6 days, or even in the uni, I remember, at that time, I eat a lot now, but cannot put on weight on. But I need food, I need energy. And you can see it on. Then the moment we graduate, no need to study here, no need to do all this already. we put on weight very fast. No? I remember I entered the university with a weight of 95 pounds. 95 pounds, I think, is very light. Huh? Less than 100. Huh? Less than 100. How many kg? I think about 40 kg like that only, very light, or 42 kg. Then what happened was, because when I entered the university, the food were good, the college and all those things. And we had not only 3 meals a day, we are given 5 meals a day. And the nourishment straight away provide me with the what they call the food that I need. Then my weight, straight away within the first month, shot up to from 95 pounds to 108 or 109 pounds. Then it stopped there until I graduate. But the moment I graduate, within 2-3 months, I hit 132, which is about 60 kg. And my weight very consistent. Until I age 60, then I went through angioplasty, all those things. Then the doctor said target 55, 56. And now I 55, 56, around there. So if you are mindful, aware, you can understand all this. Because our life force, you can use it to live life, to work, to do whatever you want. But most of the energy is drained out through, most of the people drain it out through work activity. Then sometimes people need to exercise because the body need to exercise. And some people need to exercise so that they can sleep. Otherwise they cannot sleep. Then different people dissipate the mental energy or the life force energy differently. And most of it is lost in thought, lost in the emotion, the stirring of the mind, the reaction, the sense experience. Yet their mind is hardly aware or mindful without thought. When you are mindful without thought, you conserve a lot of energy. Your thought energy, which is the main activity that draw all this. So instead of losing it to all this, through all your various type of thinking, emotion and stress, or exercise and all those things, you can actually make use of it to meditate, to develop the spiritual activity and transformation within. In the year 1989, when I was shown the gateway where I detected it, then I saw how I make use of it. There was a point I make use of it almost 100%. Because the moment the life force come, I just let it flow into the gateway, complete. Then I saw the how it transformed and melt into pure energy. Then how the pure energy to trust move by itself and activate all my internal nadis and chakra. This is the real opening without resistance. Then from there I transform very fast. That's why I told you the first time when I was shown the gateway by my last guide, I went in and my mind becomes so still, so quiet, without thought. And for almost 2-3 hours, it's like a car perfectly still. No vibration, nothing. Still. And the nature is there. That's why it's so different. And everything just melts inside. Even my external yin-yang energy that I have developed through my external mindfulness training in the past, or anapanasati and all those things, prajna, all those, they melt in. and they become pure energy. That's how that movement, the activity, can be understood. Then from there onward, I know how to conserve my energy. That's why every time I rest, I relax, I maintain awareness, I recuperate. In the early day, I only need 10 minutes. I recover, I recuperate. And at that time, I remember at the age of 35, 1989, I was exactly 35 years old. That's the year I connect and the understanding all came back. Then from there onward, during that time, I actually very different. My mind completely transformed, very still. And that movement, that trust, it has been going on for the last 30 over years. 89 until now is 36 years. But it's still moving, unending. But already, the whole thing has transformed until no need to do anything already. It's part of my nature already. Then I no need to develop it and all those things. It just moves by itself. But the understanding is that the movement, the transformation, all the heart here area, front and back, all they open up until open up doesn't mean that like you open a can. It's not like that. Open up means that pure energy has actually transformed the internal. Until the whole thing like hollow inside there. Nothing. And the whole vibration has become so fine, so different. Then I remember the first 9 months when the Monday mind collapsed. Because the vibration is so fine to the extent that the gross mundane mind, the thinking mind, cannot withstand that vibration. That's why it just drop off. Of course, you can also say it collapsed, because it cannot withstand that fine vibration. Then it really collapsed. But there is some movement. It's like the whole thing, all of a sudden, towards the end of the 9 month period, it's like one layer of consciousness just drop off like that. You have to go through to understand, otherwise you cannot understand. Then before it happened, I remember the brain here, like lock. You cannot read or try to remember thing, cannot. That whole thing show it to you. You want to suffer, you go and think. You want to suffer, you go and make use of this brain. That's why I understand the brain very well. Every part of it, the whole of the brain, the movement, which part responsible for what? My brain activity up here, where the pure awareness, the consciousness, that one is very sensitive. And it can detect, it know. That's why when I eat food or what, I think a lot of people now know. Last time, only my family member know. I sweat a lot on my forehead here only. Because it's so sensitive inside there. And that movement, I think, is to cool the brain. Cool the brain doesn't mean that it's working very hard, no, because it needs the sweat to actually allow the latent heat to make it cool, because this part of the brain is always cool. Then most of the time I got no thought activity. It's most of the time my nature is just aware. It's only when I need to manifest, to teach, to share, to communicate and to express myself, then I need to use words, I need to use thought. But these are from the pure supramundane activity, the pure nature that manifests. Well, the mundane mind no more, gone. Yeah. Okay, that part cover. We go back to the sharing. I have to finish it off fast. We are almost 9:41 already. Yeah. Oh, we are at sleep. Huh? Okay, go up. I think we can stop. No. Go down, sorry. Yeah, he also mentioned when you sleep too much, you are in a daze, not understanding anything. As to fame, if you have good reputation, when it's time to die, it loses all relevance for the people who die. Once people clearly see the five desire of wealth, sex, fame, food, and sleep for what they are, they will know that the pursuit of the five desire is meaningless. Having understood this, they will focus on behaving skillfully and creating merits and virtue. This part, I think, I will stop here. Then remind me of the sharing that I will give you, apart from what Xuan Hua has mentioned. Xuan Hua has mentioned based on what he has developed as understanding. But this part, regarding the five desires which the Mahayana classify them, well, these are termed as vices, anasana, that can trap living being. When you crave for wealth, sex, fame, good food, and sleep without wisdom, without understanding, then it become what they call craving. They call it the desire that can bring about downfall. Because you try to have them or achieve them through unscrupulous means. Means not in accordance with nature's law. Like wealth, you didn't acquire it properly and other things. Then, of course, sex. Under the five precepts, if you are married, it's okay. You can have it, but you cannot like force or do it to what they call, like certain people, they commit adultery, rape and all those things. So these are way beyond the nature's law that governs all this, the karmic part. Then some people, they want fame is to boost their ego, to become famous through security, egoic and other things. Then in order to achieve them, they do a lot of foolish things. Then food also same. Instead of enjoying or when you have the means, pamper yourself or treat yourself better, they go and indulge and create a lot of what they call unnecessary problem associated with indulgence. Then sleep, they don't know how to rest. They become like lazy. They sleep too much because maybe too much wealth, too much money, and they don't maintain their health and other things. So this is just one aspect. But when it comes to the Dhamma understanding, you need deep understanding to understand that all these are what we call that leads to downfall. But then you must also understand this pertains to the conditioned world. So within the conditioned world, there are conditioned Dhamma that governs life and existence, especially the law of karma. So you got the right duty to take care of that. And that one is very important. Then when you develop the cultivation, when you penetrate, then when you understand the anatta nature of things, of phenomena, then you break free. You see the universal characteristics. Then you realize all of life existent, they are mind-made. Phenomenal world of consciousness, not what you think. They come and they go. From moment to moment, they arise and they pass away. And split second, is dead and gone. And that is the only reality. So how real can life be? That's why I say empty nature, existence. Existence or life is not what you think. But then there is such thing as what is spoken in the what they call Heart Sutta. When you realize true emptiness, when you have penetrated true emptiness, then existence become wonderful, life become one. And then there is meaning, understand? Then like I say, you can live life to the fullest. And you can experience all of the pristine beauty of life within the moment, every moment, every instant. Even though not so real, moment to moment it arises and passes away. But there is such thing as that pristine beauty or nature. Like what last time Sui used to share, but in her own way at the retreat. He said, although it's impermanent, but every moment, every instant, everything that happened have great significance for her because she cherished it. Yeah. But when you have the awareness to be aware and able to be with it, to experience all of the pristine beauty and wonders of life, then every moment, every instant is that pristine nature. That understanding, when it unfolds, it becomes very different. Then all this like good food, when there's condition to have them, you will know how to have them. But you will not like develop the delusion to be like indulged in all this. Or you like no condition to have it also. You insist you want to have it. You will know when your body needs rest, you will rest. Then all this fame, ill fame, everything, these are the 8 wonders or the 8 worldly conditions that manifest within the conditioned world. So you will have the understanding when you do wholesome thing, beautiful, virtuous thing, the nature's law will manifest and reward you accordingly. Like recently I shared with you all, out of curiosity I googled DeepSeek, the AI chatbot. I thought new, how come people say it's so good and so fantastic? So I thought he doesn't know me. So I googled. Wow, when the answer came out, I was amazed. So they know how to summarize through all of your maybe respond in the internet or what. And they can summarize quite well, although not exactly. There are a lot of things that I share and TV, and nobody comment yet. They don't have the understanding to comment yet. That's why it's not there. Yeah. But what he has come out with, the summary is very good. Very good. Quite precise. The only thing is, they didn't really understand awareness-based meditation, which I only start sharing the last few years. Yeah. And that one is a totally different understanding. Yeah. Then Sui An sent to me one, you all should listen. The two, he called it Kuai Lo. We call Kuai Lo, but it's Westerner, I think Westerner. They actually, I don't know why they came across my YouTube. They take it out as a discussion topic. Well, the way I explain the anatta nature or emptiness is so unique that they find it so beautiful and so matching. Then, like the our this deep signal, they also mention why my video are so popular. They really get it right, you know, because I can explain very complex Buddhist term or teaching, and make it so simple, you know, and relate to life. You know, that's why people like. So all this, if you really understand, you no need to signal. People will come to realize on. That's why I told Chin Hao a long time ago. He said 2017 we have this website. That time I even predict to Chin Hao, in time to come, this website will be very useful. A lot of the teaching inside there will benefit a lot of people. Then now, like what DeepSeek and ChatGPT also know, he said because of the uniqueness of my sharing and hosting, there is a global audience listening to all this. Then Chin Hao also showed me 164 countries all over the world got people logging in to listen. That's why I was feeling strange. Our Kaimita only 100 plus. How come got 750 something of this subscriber and listener, you know, who keep on waiting for the release of the YouTube and all those things? And some of these are 2-3 hours, 3+ hours, they also listen. And the most popular one is the difference between awareness and consciousness. That one very popular. That one, it seems, the last I saw on the website, 3,800 viewer who has gone in to listen. And it's a 3-hour sharing, the Thursday class. So there are people who really appreciate what is being shared, because it's not easy to find such explanation and teaching. So maybe I will stop here. Then we mark this page. Then after that, we continue with second session. So now coming back to second session. Don't worry, tonight we got Chin Hao. He just came back from retreat, I think 3 weeks. And his haircut also very, very nice. Crew cut. Okay, Chin Hao, over to you.
Good evening, Brother Teo, Mrs. Teo, and all Kayamita. Just to upfront, there's nothing much. any fantastic. But one thing is that because of the duration, you see, the contents of the retreat, which allowed you to be more flexible. And that's why that I found that it would given me a lot of more time on relaxations. And I was prepared to loaded a lot of talks, you see. And one of the talk that really struck me was that over the years I've been trying to say that stabilize my satis, and I was hovering between anapana and the lying down, you see. And when I listened to one of the talk that you have given me a few years ago, and suddenly I realized that reason why that I couldn't make it was because my mind haven't entered sati.
Yeah.
And my meditations, as it's like the anapana, was not really stable enough, whereby I can able to constantly sort of like relax into the in peace and in quiet, and not only one time or two times, whereby it need to be consistent over time and over and over until whereby it was very stable. So I was like, wow. I was so happy to that it really solved my sort of like my long time question, you see?
Yeah, the lingering doubt. Yeah.
Yeah. So because I was like, at that time I was still, you know, before that I was like, why when I was like, you know, doing lying down, what easily. I mean, it was initially was quite okay, but later on, then you know, fall into a thought and all those kind of things. You see, but now I get it. So though I haven't really stable, I mean, haven't mind enter sati, but you know, it gives me a very clear direction. But this is the way that I need to train my mind. You see, and this is the way that I need to spend time on it. You see, So there was few section that I was this sit very peaceful and very quiet. They are still taught in, but you know, I can easily sit a very, very long hour, close to about 2 hours, just like that, you see. So I think that's why I say a lot understanding is very, very important. You know, especially those that those talk that I think if you find it very important, I think it's better to record it down. Put it aside.
You listen attentively a few times, then you write down. When you write down, if you can recall and write it down using your own word, means you have stabilized the understanding. Otherwise, you cannot write it down. Otherwise, you have to like listen, rewind back, then listen to it word for word, then you write it down. But no need. You listen until the understanding is there, then write it out without playing back the thing. Just write it down. If you cannot write it down, means not stable. That's why I remember in the early day, I used to tell you all the three things, faith, sincerity, and perseverance. Just do. Don't try to know. That's why the doing is very important. You do with understanding means body and mind as one, daily mindfulness. You're bowing, you're lying down, your anapanasati. Just relax into it, maintain awareness, and let the thing move by itself until it's stabilized. Everything you do, all action, all movement in the present moment. Bowing also same, walking also same, lying down. All activity determined to be aware. Even when you wake up, the first thing you wake up, the full awareness of your posture, that how you move, every action, every movement, you must stabilize that daily mindfulness. Otherwise, your mind very difficult to enter sati on. Then, when the time comes, when your daily mindfulness stabilizes, you realize whatever you do, even method, technique, anapanasati, or what, the moment you sit down, the mind that has entered sati, already in sati, that's why just now also I mentioned, when mind enters sati, everything you do is in sati. All your anapanasati or whatever, the kayanupasana, the sati, what they call sampajana, everything will be in sati one. Then you realize, hey, no need to do, very easy. Because the mind which is relaxed and aware is your true mind. And the true mind will detect one, and it will detect the breathing. Then the breathing out, breathing in, breathing out, no need to do anything on the awareness and the phenomenon move as one. Then you realize all your movement activity, your awareness and the phenomenon as one. That's why I have faith. Just do. Don't try to know. Don't try to even have the doubt, ayo, how come last time I can do, now I cannot do. Who is saying all this? The thought. Forget about the thought. Have faith. If people can do, you also can do. Determine. Just do. Then everything will fall into place. Then of course you can make aditan. Then seek the great beings, blessing, protection and guidance. Then when you develop all this, take the Bodhisattva vow, the yellow card, every day for at least 6 months. Non-stop until you become very familiar with all these things. You will definitely progress on. Then the causes and conditions will manifest and you will understand. That's like this faith, sadha, leading to the virya. Then that virya drives you with the sadha. Your mindfulness will come on. That's why I say when you have the faith, it will give rise to the virya, to understanding who the Buddha is, how special his teaching is, and what a being he is. He's not only enlightened, he's fully enlightened. And because of that, you must develop the virya to really want to understand his teaching. Because it can lead to enlightenment in the here and the now. It can liberate you. It can transform you and give rise to the understanding to understand life and let you live the noble life of Pativeda and all those things. Then that virya that drives you, you will go all out to cultivate sati. You just do, like I mentioned, the four support, the bowing, the walking. Especially at the retreat, you will progress very far. Then when you lie down, don't doubt, just relax. Most of your problem is when you lie down, you cannot get the calm and the peace. You thought something wrong, then your thought activity start already. Ayo, how come last time I can, now I cannot? That is verbalization. That is the doubt already. Why must you doubt? Have faith in your nature. If there is faith, if I am sincere, if I persevere, the way will be there. Well, you can quote me. Brother Theo say that. All Buddha will tell you the same. When there is sadda, it will drive you to develop the virya. Then from there, if you are sincere and you persevere, the path will be there. The way will be there. You will find it. And it's not difficult. Eh? Good that you came to have this understanding despite after trying for so many years. But no problem, because you know everybody is different. And it's very good that through all this, you discover yourself. You investigate, develop understanding. Then with that understanding, that's why listening back to the old sharing is very important. Well, all these things, they got a lot of pointer inside there. And just now when I was sharing about this website, brotheo.com, a lot of people still don't know how much thing inside there. I tell you, in years to come, a lot of people will start to understand the four circle formation teaching, which I just start teaching the last few years. And this four circle formation teaching is still very new. The pure awareness, nature, all those things, people still don't quite understand. But you develop the faith, the sincerity and the perseverance, and you do that, you can progress, especially until the fourth support. Then you can locate the gateway. When you transform, you will comprehend what I teach and share. Otherwise, now, I think, not easy for people, but there are quite a lot of Kayamita who has been with me. They have the, what they call, clear understanding that this is so beautiful and these are possible. That's why their faith become very strong. And the way they move and they progress, completely different. Very good. Sadhu.
And also I noticed that if your mind is not silent enough, to read your books, it's just like all the Dhamma knowledge.
Yeah, la, wasting time on.
Yeah, that's right. Unless
because
you have,
it comes from that silent, that nature. If you don't have the, what they call, ability to be with the true mind, a lot of the thing that I write, you cannot comprehend on. Because it needs that silent within. That's why I also used to tell Sui, you wait till she stabilizes the awareness nature and locate the gateway, she will progress very fast. But that one need to be developed with understanding. Then you must be very patient, relax, maintain awareness with the faith, just do silent, persevere. Then just do it. Then it will come. And when it come, everything become different. It's like you suddenly wake up from the what they call delusion, the slumber. Well, last time you cannot see. And all this will only trigger and happen when you suddenly realize that and went in. Then when you come out of it, you become very different. Then after that, everything that is being shared, you listen again, so different already. It's like crystal clear now. And all the meaning, like, take a new dimension, very deep. that every word is very meaningful, very like penetrative, very direct. Because last time, you need to like, because when I just came to realize all this and I came out to share, I need to look for the word that nobody know how to even coin it, or like specific phenomenal awareness, spacious awareness without a center. I need to find the word, even the pure awareness nature. I need to find the word to share. But now the movement is so different now. Now all this word has been established through my sharing. Then when I realize all this word has been established and cultivator has that ability to comprehend, this nature inside very funny one. It will move by itself, it will share by itself, it will know what is needed or not. That's why you see the awareness-based meditation, the preliminary first 10 or 15 minutes that I normally share. Now today, I went and exceeded it. I think normally I would have started the alarm or setting of the 30 minutes before 8:30. Today it went to 8:37, I saw. That's why I have to cut short and stop. Where I share a lot of other things. You go and listen. Today one is also very good. You go and listen. That it will let you understand the much deeper, clearer, how to develop this awareness-based meditation. And I even mentioned about method, technique, and even object of meditation, all those things. And all the movement that is possible within the brain, the activity, the views, opinion, condition, beliefs, all this is explained clearly today. So you listen to it, and when you slowly develop the understanding and the stability, then don't keep it as knowledge. Just listen attentively, then reflect, contemplate until it slowly stabilized. Then when it really stabilized, you know what to do. One, when you lie down, all this understanding will help you do. Then once you stabilize the awareness, just go to the heart area, stay there. Don't do anything. Let that nature detect. When your mind has entered satya, it's very, very sensitive. Everything it detects on. Then all the movement is like your mind enters satya area. Everything is in satya. Then after that, the slightest movement like magnify. Everything is magnified. That's why that pure awareness nature is very different from the thought. The thought cannot do all these things. The thought cannot be aware. The thought cannot insight into phenomena. The thought cannot develop all this direct seeing and understanding. But that awareness nature, which is the silent mind, can do all this. That's why you are right when you say, if you just read without the mind that is tranquil and still, if you have not developed the ability to be aware and stabilize that inner awareness, most of it is still knowledge. Theory.
And then it cannot enter your mind.
It cannot stabilize.
Yeah, it's just like just a normal reading. That's
yeah,
it.
Yeah. Then you were like inside there, analyze. The word is analysis. You try to analyze. Why brother you say like that? That is not inquiry. That is analysis. But the thought is active. Whereas inquiry, the thought is not active. You just throw out. Why did brother you say that? Then that pure awareness through its ability to be aware, then it will recollect through memory what the understanding is, where we have gone through life. Then when we recollect what we have gone through, as you recollect, you will pass by, but now with the awareness, when it passed by, it understand or no. Last time, you are thinking one. This one is when you inquire and you allow the mind to reflect or contemplate, means you let it recollect those, like you said, birth is suffering. So you recollect the birth process. You don't try to recollect the theory, you know. That, like what I say, birth is suffering. Ah, yala, when you are born, not normal. That one is knowledge. No, you look at the birth process. Understand not? What really happened during birth? Is it everything beautiful? Then as you reflect and contemplate, more and more understanding will arise, will surface. Yeah. Then when you are observant, a lot of the teaching, they are related to life. That's why they appreciate my sharing it, because it helped them understand life, deal with life, and help them overcome all their life problems, especially people who has to confront the First Noble Truth reality. Although DeepSeek and ChatGPT just mentioned a few things, but in fact there are a lot more, about depression and all this, and even disease they did mention. A lot of people came to consult me because of critical disease and all those things. So these are the understanding that can unfold. And when you cultivate sincerely, you do it correctly, it will manifest, it will unfold. Very good, Sadhu.
And in this retreat, I read the books, the Eckhart Tolle, The Power of Now. Mm, see? Mm-hmm. Many years ago, when I first had this book, I couldn't understand it at all. See? And this time, it was so easy to understand.
Yeah,
and to my surprise, I found that because he was trying to say that the mundane mind and the silent mind, the true mind, is it? Mm-hmm. But he was so I mean, maybe because he's like he's telling to the public, is it? So he's so abstract, and I found that your way of explaining is so straightforward, is it?
Yeah. A lot more straightforward. I use the day-to-day explanation or language that normal people can understand. Well, I link it to the brain, our accumulated memories, our views, opinion, conditioning, belief system, all this. Because this is what the thought actually develops through accumulation. Then psychological memory, mechanical memory, that leads to all the habits and all those things, the habitual tendency. And these are the real movement within. Because when Eckhart Tolle share and teach, he based it on what he understand at that time. Then he used his own word. That's why he call it the power of the now. But at that time, there are a lot of things he has not established the terminology and all those things. But he has his way. And what he teaches is also very useful, very beautiful. It helps a lot of people. That's why the power of now is to access the true mind. He said you can go through the portal of feeling. He used the word, he liked to use the word portal. Then they call pain body. He liked the word pain body, which is totally different from our Buddhist teaching. Because pain body is a body that can trigger our suffering or pain. It's just like it lay dormant inside. When there is no condition to arise it, to stir it, then that pain body doesn't manifest. But it's already there. So when there is causes and condition, it will unfold. So he used different term. So what we develop as the Theravada tradition Buddhist teaching is the habitual tendency. Because these are habits that cultivator or those so-called unenlightened being develop. And this habitual tendency are the way you behave habitually. Where you stir your mind habitually through heedlessness, through sakadity, through ignorance. And this stirring of the mind is the one that conditions the heedless thinking. And this is the one that creates the mental hindrance or like and dislike. So when your mind creates so much of this mental hindrance, It will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state or inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. That's why you cannot meditate. Because the spiritual faculty is not there. That's why you need yoniso manasikara. Means you need the direct seeing, the understanding, the dhamma. Means the, I call it the initial wisdom. The dhamma penetrative understanding to see it clearly, so that this yoniso manasikara at the moment of sense experience, it will prompt you. Then your mind understand it then, like able to see things as they are. Then come out with the understanding. You saw your mind stir. Then like the Satipatthana say, you have to inquire. Why did you every time stir? The habitual tendency. How come like that? It's because you cannot accept the reality of what happened. You cannot see things as they are. Then later on, you will come to understand when the Buddha used the word, when causes and conditions are there, things will go this way. Then whatever arise, there are causes and conditions. Then you realize, this is the gist of the understanding of condition world. Then within the condition world, everything that arises, there must be causes and conditions. Otherwise, it cannot arise. That's why each year you wayfa. Yeah. So you wayfa is condition number. Condition number is dependent originating. Otherwise, it cannot arise. Where wayfa is unconditioned. Unconditioned means if there is nothing, then what can arise? And that is your true mind, your primordial mind, your nature inside that. Before the arising of thought and all this creation. That's why the four circle formation all will become very clear to you. Then you realize when you are here, you are still nobody. That's why it's not a being. It cannot come out and live. But this one is just a nature. But it's capable of awareness. No thought. Without thought, there is no habitual tendency. There is no fear. There is no stirring. Nothing. Then you realize, that is the perfect state. And that is the original nature, primordial nature. It was there before creation. But you need a form of mind to arise to have that. That's why meditation is to realize that. Means go back to the state, the primordial, true, pure awareness nature before the arising of thought. See that, then you realize you have two minds. And then very easy to meditate already. Then there is no more fear, no more. Then that thinking, that stirring, that creation, mind is the forerunner of all things and all things. It's understood. Once it understood, that movement will slow down. It will stop. We have no more meaning. Right? Think also like that, don't think also like that. It's just a thought. Arise and pass away. No reality. As real as can be within the moment. You can only recall to memory. When the mundane mind sees, nothing exists. Everything is just the way it is. Dependent, originating, condition, arising, cause of. And this is the basis of sunyata. Emptiness. Empty nature existence, no reality. Then your mind actually liberates. Then you realize everything is not what you think, not what the living being think. There is no reality behind. But then there is such thing as life, existence. Where the conditioned world has its own karmic law, its own mundane dhamma, the essential dhamma. Everything that the Buddha teach, they do exist within the conditioned world. That's why you cannot just like, through the understanding of the unconditioned, everything not real, then you don't bother. No such thing. Because this form and mind is not a permanent unchanging entity. It's not a being, not you. But this is subject to karma. That's why there is a right duty. So all these are not taught by other people. That's why people cannot penetrate. On the one hand, the Buddha said, you are all born of your karma. Then the other hand, he said, anatta, non-self, empty nature. Then you think he contradict. No, he didn't contradict. When he say you is the form and mind. And that one is not a permanent unchanging entity. That's why he mentioned it very clearly. If this is you, he said, the five aggregate will not tend towards suffering. The form will not tend towards suffering. Feeling will not tend. So he used this type of analogy for people to understand it easily. Yeah. But what I use is you need to have the awareness to see. That's why the awareness I saw. Feeling arise and pass away. I didn't die. So how can feeling be me? Then perception also same. Come and go, come and go. That's why I can explain to you the three period of time. Past, present and future. And of these three, the only reality is the present moment. But how stable is the present moment? Because I saw it. Split second is dead and gone. Split second is dead and gone. So where is the reality? And that is the only reality, you know, highest in life. You know. And yet it's so transient, you know. It's gone. So all these understandings are very penetrating. But you need sati to see. All phenomena, at the moment of its arising, sustaining and passing away, there and then, without thought, without word, the direct see. When you see, you awaken. Yeah. Then, like I said, for those who see, they always see. Yeah. Well, these are not esoteric teaching, you all cannot understand. No, it can be understood. That's why the deep sikh, they know complex concept and understanding can be explained clearly and easily understood with analogy and all those things. So this is how the future penetrative sharing and understanding can transform living being. And now with your understanding, you will listen attentively, and all this understanding, when it's stabilized, you will progress. You will progress, and you will develop very good understanding. So, be patient, have faith, sincerity, then persevere, and just do. Don't try to know. Okay?
Yeah. And I realize that, you know, if without the constant understanding, learning from your teaching, I wouldn't be able to understand what Eckhart Tolle talked about that, you see.
Yeah.
In fact, your way of describing is much, much easier, straight to the point.
A lot easier and more direct.
Yes.
That's why a lot of people find my sharing a lot easier to understand, is because the Theravada teaching, like I explained to you, they are taught in like piecemeal one or every of the teaching, like the five aggregate of form and mind, is just the words only. So, and the two aspects also, they don't know. No. Then the five spiritual focal, but they are not linked. No. They cannot link all this. No. Whereas the mind map that Sui helped me to prepare, I able to link everything with the explanation. No. That's why when people read that one, they realize right view with regards to law of karma, trigger off the advice of the Buddha and why keep precept or explain clearly. You know. That's why it's very different. In the past, if you go and read the Theravada teaching, life is suffering, they always tell you the reality of the eight reality within the first noble truth teaching, the noble truth of dukkha, not explained. The inquiry, the three turning, the first turning wisdom, suttamaya panya, cintamaya panya, then bhavanamaya panya, how they are linked to the first, second and third turning. Nobody know. The dhammacakkappavattana sutta also, same, the paticchasamuppada also, hardly anybody can explain the real one. So all this, like you come to realize, the explanation is so direct and so simple. That's why deep sikh also know complicated concept can be made simple. That's why you have to listen attentively and just allow the mind to settle down within the silence. Then you will understand. Don't go and analyze and think a lot. Your thinking cannot give you the understanding that is beyond thought, beyond mind. Thinking actually creates more thought. And when you think a lot, you are not aware. To be aware is before the knowing, before the perception, the aggregate of mind, before the mind create mental activity, emotional. These are all the mundane aspect of the mind, which is not the true mind. The true mind has got none of all this. That's why all this emotion, feeling, views, opinion, conditioning, belief system, they are not part of the true mind. They are not intrinsic. They are dependent, originating wrong view, wrong thought created by the mundane mind that has delusion and ignorance. So see them clearly, how the creation from the four circle formation, how they arise and how they become the phenomenal world of consciousness, then how to meditate to return. That's why that book, I think this one, there is a drawing at the end, I think. Yeah, this drawing on page 61. This one, Sui have to draw on, very good. This one is very clear, the four circle formation. How you bring the mundane, phenomenal world of consciousness through the mundane mind's creation back to pure awareness. You have to really develop the stability of it so that you are here. From here, the pure awareness nature, you see, you hear, the senses operate from here. Not like last time. Last time you are at the mundane thought level, thinking with your views, opinion, you're very busy here, and you get yourself entangled through delusion at the phenomenal world. But this is where the Buddha said the phenomenal world of consciousness is like a magician. It creates illusion and magic for you to see, and you believe it. That's why you grasp, you cling. Then you have to slowly return to this pure awareness nature. Then from here, you realize the form and mind is just a manifestation of the five aggregate, to the karmic nature, to the whatever existential world's law, law of karma, everything. So all this understanding, they are going to help a lot of people. The four circle formation. Okay, very good. We have to end. Jinao, you summarize.
Really, I mean, after all this, I really have to thank Brother Teo for, you know, giving me the opportunity to understand, you know, the Buddha Dharma. Because I can see that though it's very slow, I can see that the progress and the understanding from day one until now.
So now you realize as you understand, you progress. As you understand, you progress. If you don't understand, you cannot progress. Huh? Yep. Because, like I said, you will be wasting your time doing all the thought-based one, then creating all the doubt, the analysis, all the things. In fact, a lot of people trapped at the thought level. Yes. Yeah. Even at one time, Song also, early days. Yeah? After he connect, then within that few months, he progressed. Then he caught in the analysis. I keep on telling you, this one is your mind analyzing, not your understanding from the true nature. That's why after that, he managed to understand and there was a breakthrough. That's why now he very different. Now he understands how the mind actually analyzes. Then how it verbalizes inside. Because it don't have clarity. It don't have the spiritual faculty, it don't have the stability of sati, the daily mindfulness. Once all this stabilized, the chattering, the verbalization, the analysis stop. It just stop. Then it's like it cannot create thought or no. It's hardly any thought inside there or no. Even while I share all this with you all. No thought at all no inside there. We are blank, completely blank. It's like hollow inside there. But the understanding from the nature will manifest. And you will know how to share. Where there is this understanding there, the clarity. That's like straight from the heart. It's not from memory. Memory is knowledge. Memory cannot understand. This one is beyond thought, beyond mind. That's like to understand this teaching, you must realize that nature inside. Very good. Okay.
Yeah.
Sadhu. So let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we have to end already. Because it's 10:34 already. We will share merit. Akasata cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyantang anumoditwa cirang rakantu lokasasana itta wata cha amehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo deo vasat kalena sasa sampati hetu cha fito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko imina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo sattang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, you all can now pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva and all the worthy ones. Let me end. Sadhu.